have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Yes, Lord.
Be the glory. Once more and again, we're here. Praise God. We're here. We're delighted to be with you once more and again at For His Glory. I'm your co-host, Apostle Brian Glassengame. I'm here with my lovely host and producer, Kimmy Kim, Dr. Kimmy Kim Robinson. We're glad to have her also, and we're glad to have you. We thank God for this is a day that God has made. We will be glad, we will rejoice in it, regardless to the things that we're seeing in the world today, which right now there is a whole lot of things that we're seeing today. But I was looking through my devotional here, it's I came across something that I realized that a lot of us, a lot of saints, a lot of people have just gotten away from, and I think a lot of it is due because of the microwave type mentality that, you know, we've come into and we've learned how to embrace, and then there's just the world that's at this hustle and bustle type thing that we got going on right now as well. And one of the things that I believe that we're now seeing in a lot of cases is a lack of humility. We're seeing right now a lot of acts which are prideful acts. And we know that when we operate in pride, it's not a gift from God. It's not a gift from God. It's not the way of the Lord. God desires humility. You know, we'll cover that tonight, because I really think that I know without a shadow of a doubt that that's one of our things that we're lacking in today's things of God, or in the world in general per se. So we'll start out, first of all, with prayer. Father, we thank you for this another day. We thank you for life, health, and strength. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord God, for your grace. We thank you for this opportunity to come before this, your people. We pray, Father God, that the word of the Lord fall on good ears. We pray, Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, that it will bring forth fruit. We thank you, Lord God, that it will give direction to others, and we give you praise, Lord God. Let the Holy Spirit bring all things back to our remembrance, that you be glorified in the earth. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. The first verse I want to look at is found in Psalms 10, and the 12th verse. It says, "Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand, and forget not the humble." This is written by David. And right now he's in a place where he's asking God to rise up. He's got situations going on, situations that's bigger than he is, and situations that he can't handle. So he's asking God to rise up. And he's saying, lift up thine hand. And he's saying, God, forget not the humble. It's amazing to me sometimes how David had this revelation and how he had this knowledge of God, and knew what turned God on and what turned God off. But it's very interesting to me how he knew these things about God. So he had to have a real close relationship with God. In the 13th verse, he says, "Wherefore thou doest the Lord condemn God? He hath said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite, and require it with thine hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless." Now he's saying here that the wicked, they condemn God, and have said in his heart, "Thou wilt not require it." When men are wicked, when man doeth evil, they honestly don't think or don't believe that God will chase them. Think that God will, not only they think God will not chase them, they think God will not, repay, you know, that which they have sown. And that's just the spirit of, that's just the spirit of pride that has blinded them, and also a spirit of deceit that has caused them not to believe that God will chasten those whom he loves. And, you know, there's some that even think they can do certain things and God's not even going to see. He's not even going to pay any attention to this. You know, this little thing right here. And I've been on another podcast with a friend of mine. He had this podcast, and we've talked about this a couple of times. I can't understand a lot of times, especially with people who are saved. We tend to have a tendency to weigh sin. We tend to have a tendency to think that there's a big sin and there's a little sin, and we have a tendency to think that because we might just be doing a little sin, God's not going to really care about that. But that's not how God sees sin. God sees sin as sin. And in this 14th verse, David points this out. He says, "Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite, to require it with thine hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless." So there we see God does help the fatherless, and the poor committed himself unto him. But he said, God has seen the spite of those that are wicked. He said, "Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man, seek out his wickedness till thou find none." The Lord, in other words, deal with this man, deal with this wickedness. Get it all out of his system. Get it all out of his spirit. Deal with it until you have found none. So this is actually before we get on back into the other part of the Bible where they talk about the potter's wheel, the potter's house. There's times that God put us as Christians on what we call the potter's wheel, where God puts us on the wheel and he spins us and he turns us, and whatever imperfect or imperfection that might be in that clay. And I stopped there because I had to come back to remember or to remind all of us that we are the clay. We're actually made from clay, the dirt of the earth. So he shapes us, he molds us, and then there's perfections or imperfections that he decides, I need to take this out of. So sometimes when we're on, most times when we're on, the potter's wheel is not always comfortable. And what's one of the wisest things to do, what I try to do, is try to find out what it is that God is trying to get rid of so that I can get or help alleviate or hurry up and turn it loose, whatever it is he's trying to get me to turn it loose. So, but pride, it will sometimes, it will. It will cause you to hold on to certain things that you really don't need, certain things that really you really don't need in life. And a lot of times, God, if there's something he's wanting to take away from you, he's got something bigger, he's got something better that he wants to replace that you're still holding on to. So we just have to realize how to humble ourselves, keep ourselves humble, and realize that God has the perfect answer, that God knows exactly what he's doing. He says, "The Lord is the King forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart, and thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. To judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress." That's one thing that God hears against is oppression. the word tells us that Jesus came and he went about doing good, healing all of those who were oppressed of the devil. Let's look at Psalms 25:9. He said, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Notice, it's the meek. He didn't say the proud or the haughty. He said the meek. He will teach his judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. It's important to be meek. It's important to be humble. Because when we're not humble, when we're not meek, we have that mindset that and pride is there to the point that where we can't be taught anything. We think we've already arrived. We think we know it all. We think we got all the answers. We think to a certain extent that we don't even need God. I can remember one time in my life that I was very young then, and I remember telling God, you're busy. You have a lot going on. You got a lot on your plate. You're taking care of people all over the world. You know, you're watching these jets as they fly to and fro. You're making sure they get to where they need to go. Trains, cars, all that. And I remember telling God, so God, you just let me allow you to handle the big problems in my life. All this little bitty stuff, you know, I can take care of that, God. I can handle that, God. You know, I don't need to burden you with all, you know, with all this stuff. Not realizing that when I was in him, that I was actually in a place in a place of pride, you know. And basically, bottom line, I was basically just wanting to do what I wanted to do, you know. Like so many of us, you know, so many of us, we may be thinking about getting married or something like that. And we won't even start to consider or start to consult God, who is the mate that you would have me to have. We'll just dive right on in and get all, you know, involved. We picked who we wanted, and then we'll say, okay, God, this is who I want. I need you to bless this marriage. And God is like, I didn't send that to you. That's not what I want for you. That right there, 5 months, 6 months, maybe 5 years down the road, is going to disappoint you. It's going to hurt you. It's going to bring you a heartbreak. That thing's going to end in a divorce, and I'm not of a divorce. So a lot of us, think we can outsmart God, and we won't even bother to go to God, to consult God. And a lot of times we won't do this because a lot of times we know deep down and whatever we have already chosen is not going to work anyway. So let me move on. I'm still trying to deal with pride. We're still dealing with pride. We're still dealing with humility. That's what goes on a lot of times when we talk about pride, humility, when we decide a lot of times that we can take things on ourselves, you know, or by ourselves without submitting ourselves to God. Let's now look at Psalms 55:19. Psalms 55:19. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes. Therefore, they fear not God. forth his hands, the 20, against such as be at peace with him, and he hath broken his covenant. In other words, God is saying, God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old. Excuse me, those who have abided, those who obey God of old, God will afflict them because they have no changes. God requires us to grow in his grace, requires to grow in his mercy. And sometimes there's times that we begin or we get to a place to where we get too familiar with God. Too familiar with God. We take God for granted, or we think, you know, surely he's not going to chasten me for this or that. And we just don't have that fear of God. I may have said this many times before. One of the biggest problems that I see with people today is that there's so many people who say, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. And I don't know, maybe some of you all have had that experience, because sometimes God will place us in experience or in situations just to allow us to see how he feels. The scripture, there's a scripture that Jesus said, you know, they do honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So I've been in, you know, places and situations where, you know, they tell you they love you, but their actions are not there. You know, their actions may be trying to build a relationship somewhere else, but they say they love you. That's not how love works. And that's what Jesus felt. So sometimes he will allow us to go through certain situations just to say, you see how you feel? That's how I feel. When you say you love me, but you don't hold fast to my commandments. When you say you love me, but you don't do this, you don't do that. When you say you love me, you don't go to the functions, you don't go to church, you don't pray, you're not in your work, but you say you love me, or you say you love me and you're committing fornication, you say you love me and you're murdering with the tongue, or you say you love me. That list goes on and on and on and on. But God does require a change. He requires us to grow. Goes back to the very beginnings of what Jesus says, very, very, I say to you, you must be born again. And we do. When we take on Christ, we are new creatures. We are new babes in Christ. And we have to mature. We have to mature as God leads, as God guides. We have to mature to become a full-grown or full-blown Christian or believer of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says in the 20th verse, he has put forth his hand against such as be at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. When you're with God and when you're having that relationship with God, there is a peace. But once that covenant, or if you try to break that covenant, that's when there is no more peace. That's when all Hades, all chaos break loose. He said, the words of his mouth are smoother than butter, but war is in his heart. His words are softer than oil, yet they are drawn swords. So you have to be careful with some people that's walking in pride, because they do. They have some smooth talks. They have some smooth words. But underneath those words or behind those words, there's a hidden agenda. In the 22nd verse, it says, cast down thy burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Be humble. Stay holy. Be righteous. No matter what comes, no matter what goes, he will not suffer the righteous to be moved. He says, but thou, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Bloody and deceitful men will not live out half their days. It still holds true. What you sow, you shall reap. What you sow, you shall reap. Will not live out half its days. And, you know, we're in that place now. I know, you know, we hear tell of a lot of youth getting caught up in games, living, you know, the fast life, leaving here at early ages, chasing the bag, called money. A lot of us have, let me exclude myself out of that because I don't want to be caught up in it, but a lot of people have got caught up to the point where they have made money their God. I'll say that again. A lot of people have gotten placed to the place to where they have gotten made money their God. And I hear different things on Facebook, different things on Instagram with some of these, oh God, some of these women, they just coming straight up and straight out up front, you know, telling different guys, you know, if you think I'm this, if you think I'm that, if you think I'm top tier, pick a bill. Pick a bill. In other words, she wants you to pay one of her bills if you are talking about having any kind of relationship with her. And, you know, honestly, you can't expect the relationship to last upon those grounds. Let me help some, I think I may have gone into this before. Let me help some of my sisters out there. Honey, with most real men, when you approach a man like that, he may pay that bill. But I'm telling you, if he pay that bill, in the back of his mind, you're no longer considered to him as a woman or a lady. I let you fill in the blank of what you think he think you are. He thinks you have just become his property. He'll pay that bill, but you better believe that he may be paying somebody else's bill to get the same thing out of you. I mean, it's getting crazy. It's getting crazy. And, you know, some of them say, well, you know, happy wife, happy life. I've heard that, this, and that, and the third. In other words, they're trying to say, hey, you know, take me shopping, take me here, take me there, and you make me happy, I'm going to make you happy. I mean, why are you trying to base a relationship or build a relationship on the material thing, money? I understand. You want a guy, you know, us guys, we want a lady that can, you know, be a helpmate. I understand, you know, I understand all of that. But, you know, want the money more than you want the individual, it's not going to work because money, y'all can believe it or not. Money is funny. Money can come. Money will come and go. And I have experienced it to the point where if you hook up with the wrong person, money will get funny. God will cause money to go because he knows that the one you hooked up with go when the money go. I let that sink in. I let that right there. Let that be a drizzle and not one of them pouring down rains. You know, that way it'll sink in. I see a lot of people don't believe that, but that right there is true. Because like, I've seen where even in certain marriages, if one decide they want to slip out and have a relationship outside of the marriage, it become a thing just like it was with Joshua. The whole camp went out to fight, and the people they were supposed to be fighting, they were greater than the people that they were fighting. They had more people than the people that they were fighting. But every time they got ready to fight the people was whooping them up, wiping them out. Joshua went back to the Lord and said, why is this happening, Lord? I mean, we done had bigger battles and badder battles than this right here, and we can't overtake this thing. And you said you give us victory over all our enemies. And God told them they're seeing in the camp. See, that same concept, it also happens in marriages today. Oh, yeah. You might get away with it for a smidgen, but there's always going to be a time when you're going to have to pay the piper. Someone said, well, I just repent. You can repent. And in some cases, you can repent. And in some cases, you God will forgive you. He will always forgive you if you repent. But there's always going to be consequences. And you may not know what the consequences going to be. So it's better to be faithful, true to God, be faithful, true to yourself, and be truthful. I don't even know how I got on that right there to your mate, because I do too. Because a lot of times, even in adultery, fornication, and stuff like that, it takes on the spirit of pride, thinking you'll get away with something, thinking God ain't going to bust your head wide open to the white meat. I don't want to sound like God is just, you know, he's just an unmerciless God. I don't want to sound like that. But sometimes you have to instill this type thing in people so people will respect and will fear God, because God, he is a very much loving God. He is a very long-suffering God. He is a God that extends mercy and grace. But he's also a God that has a wrath. So we have to keep that also in mind. A lot of times, you know, when the chastening comes, it's out of love. He's trying to bring you back to the Father's house. He's trying to bring you back to the love of the Father. Let's look at Psalms 149 and 4. I don't know. So the Lord taketh pleasure in his people, and he will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be their mouth, and the two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with feathers of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. For the Lord, in the fourth verse, says, take pleasure in his people, and he will beautify the meek with salvation. He will beautify the meek with salvation. I believe Jesus even said it will be the meek, he did say it will be the meek that inherits the earth. So we have to, you know, always be in mind, you know, we have to always keep in check that it's not good for us to allow pride to overtake us. Listen, it's good to have a sense of pride. In other words, it's good to be a place or in a place to where you can be proud of some of your achievements, proud of your children, how they have achieved some things. It's okay for you, in other words, take pride in your appearance, take pride in how you speak, take pride in how you speak to others, you know, how you don't look down or how you don't judge others. It's okay to that point, but not to the point of where pride overtakes you and make you haughty above more than what you think you are. And by all means, don't make let pride think that you are as mighty. People do it to mighty, or you know, just as mighty as God. Like, you know, oh, ain't nobody do this but me. You know, ain't nobody. No. It's a sense of pride. It's a sense of pride. Let's look at Proverbs 22:4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. I read it again. By humility and the fear of the Lord. This is the thing that comes with humility and the fear of the Lord. Are riches and honor and life. Those are the things that comes with humility and the fear of the Lord. So if we want long life, it's best for us to be humble. If we want riches, it's best for us to fear the Lord and be humble. A lot of times people, I just say, this is my opinion, a lot of times people sometimes can't or don't become that for, you know, that wealthy or whatever because they just have too much pride. They wouldn't be able to handle the wealth that God released it to them. So that's a prayer that, you know, with most of us, you know, if we realize or we feel as though God is about to release us or release to us some riches, one of our best bets is to be praying in God, you know, don't let me get too high. Don't let pride overtake me. Let's look at Proverbs 6:16. Get ready to wrap this up. Proverbs 6. This is really interesting. And we're going to start at 16th verse. And we're going out to the 19th verse. And I'm quite sure a lot of you have heard of it or read it before. It says, these things doeth the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are abominations unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Notice pride is the first thing that comes out, proud. Because a lot of these things are connected to pride. A lot of these things is connected to pride because you, like we were saying earlier, either you think that you can do these things and won't nothing happen to you, or you think they're you can do these things and there'll be no consequences. It says a proud look, a lying tongue, that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, and then say feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false stop. Feet that be swift to running to mischief. I can remember a time in being in school, fight might break out. And you'd hear people say, fight, fight. And everybody would take off, run, swift feet to go see mischief. Do you know a lot of people have lost their lives trying to go see a fight, not realizing that one of them might have a gun, one of them might have a knife, or you know, somebody might be, you know, a bystander, you know, trying to hit somebody else and hit you in the head. Swift feet and run into mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord amongst the brethren. I've witnessed someone who actually sowed discord amongst the brethren, who spoke lies. I've had them speak lies about me to others, and they were sowing discord amongst the brethren concerning me. That was a place, God, thank you, where God had taught me. He taught me. That was a place where you had to hold your peace, be in a place of humility, and learn how to hold your peace and let God fight your battle. Because and it was a long process. It wasn't no short process. But in the midst of it, when God released me from that place, later on people would run into me who realized what was going on, and they would say, Ryan, we know what happened. We know what took place. We know they done you wrong. They said, but if you would see what they're going through now, you wouldn't wish it on no man. You wouldn't wish it on nobody. And I never saw the person, but I kept hearing that same report. So I'm saying that to say this: humility is the way. Humble. I got a good real good friend. Before we even got saved, we would call each other humble, and we didn't know what we was actually saying, but evidently, the power of life and death is in the tongue, and evidently it's paid off. Both of us are saved, sanctified, five baptized, Holy Ghost filled, and in ministry. So I just thank God for the brother. Let's look at Psalms 51. And this is couple of scriptures that just came to my heart as I started looking over this. 51 and 17. It talks about the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. I think in the NIV it says a broken heart and a contrite spirit, God will not reject. A broken heart and a contrite spirit, a remorseful heart, a remorseful spirit, one that is truly broken and in a place of repentance. He said, God will not deny that heart. He will not. He will not. He will not reject him or her. So that's an instruction that, you know, of how to approach God. If you want God to receive you, you know, it's pretty jacked up when we take on pride to try to say, let me think, because I may be guilty of this at one time or another. Yeah, I'm guilty of it. So, God, I have to repent. You know, this time, you know, you start calling yourself, counting the cost, figure out, you know, what all you done for the Lord, and what all you know you may have missed or what all you may have missed out on or several different things you may try to, you know, bargain. Yeah, bargain with the Lord. And instead of just coming with a contrite spirit and saying, God, I done messed up. You know, I need you to fix me again. I need to whatever, and just take the blame for yourself. Come a whole lot better out instead of saying some little stupid stuff like I've done. You know, with God, you know, I've been in this for so long and this, that, and the third, and you know, God, you know, I shouldn't have to go through this in order for you to bless this or release this blessing to me. This, that, and the third. Just hey. I'm speaking to Brian now. Just be humble. Just hallelujah, thank you anyhow. Just resist the pride. Just resist the pride. And we'll see that when we resist the pride, things will do a whole lot better. Let's look at Proverbs, we're going to get ready to wrap this up. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I mean, pride had to come first, but it always go first before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. I don't know about nobody else. I don't need no more falls in my life. That's a good cue right there for me. I don't know about nobody else. I'm just speaking about me. For me to check myself. Check my heart. Check my spirit. God, is there any pride that I need to get rid of? Take it away from me, God. I don't need, I don't want, I don't desire another fall. There's some things that I know God is doing. And for me, my own personal standpoint in life, I don't want to miss it. So I'm not trying to allow pride to enter in one way or another. I'm trying my best not to let pride enter in one way or another. Well, God, we thank you again for being with us on For His Glory. We thank God for you. We praise God, and we pray that the words from tonight find a lodging place in your heart. We pray that the Holy Spirit will bring it back to your remembrance at the appointed time that you need it. And we just give you praise. We give you honor. We give God the glory for allowing us come on and sup and spend this time with you. We thank God for Kimmy Kim. We thank you for watching over her. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you give her a delightful, delightful Christmas, her and her family. Continue to build a hedge of protection around her. Let no hurt home or danger befall, God. We pray, Lord God, for those who are listening right now. We pray, Lord God, for divine protection for them and us as we approach this new Christmas, this Christmas that we hadn't seen before, and the Christmas that we won't see again. We thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to celebrate, birth of our Lord and our Savior, in Jesus' name. Father, we pray that if there's one out there tonight who have not received you as your personal Lord and Savior, we pray that this night be the night. And Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for hearing us when we pray according to your will. Now, if you're out there and you do do not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, but you would like to be saved, you would like to be saved, you'd like to be born again, you just repeat this prayer with me, and God will do the work. Believe it, pray it in faith, and God will do the work. Just repeat after me, Heavenly Father, I come to you as a sinner. I believe that you gave your only begotten Son, Jesus, to be my personal Lord and Savior. I believe he died for my sin. I believe he died for my iniquity. I believe that on the third day you raised him up from the dead with all power in his hands. God, your word said that if I confess this with my mouth, and I believe it in my heart, you said, I shall be saved. I'm believing you at your word, God. And right now I ask that you come into my heart, that you save me, that you make me a new creature in Christ Jesus. I pray this in faith. I believe it, even as of right now. So Satan, I renounce you. You have no more parts in my life. I'm now a new creature in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, for saving me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you need prayer, you would like prayer, you can reach me Facebook, Brian Blasingame. You can also reach me on Instagram, Brian Blasingame. And we'd be glad to pray with you. We'd be glad to pray for you in Jesus' name. Now, as we leave, we pray to the Lord, never depart from us, and that we come again in Jesus' name. So remember, thing that you do, let's do it in decency, let's do it in order, but for most of all, let's do it for his glory. I'm Apostle Brian Blasingame. I enjoyed being with you. Thank you again, Dr. Kim and Kim, for having us on. Please, will you take us out? God bless you, and good night. Amen.
So that I can be free. I'm not the same because of your grace. You are amazing. You are amazing. look back over my life.